Hi, this is Matt Maser, Patreon supporter. This episode of IVND is brought to you by supporters like me.
The 2015 Cubs became more complete this week with Chris Bryant joining the club on Friday at Wrigley Field. On this episode, we're going to talk about what precipitated this call-up, assuming he will not return to the minors for any reason other than a rehab assignment. We'll summarize his minor league numbers, and we'll talk about what impact we expect him to have on this team and our outlook for the season. We'll shift our call-up attention to Addison Russell, look at how he's doing in Iowa, and discuss when we might see Russell with the big league team. All of these topics and more on this episode. It is April 19th, 2015, and you're listening to the 309th episode of the IVMV podcast. Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by the other two hosts of this podcast through a Google Plus Hangout.
Hey, it's Andy.
Hey, Kurt. Why is that funny?
You'll have to listen to the episode to find out. Oh, man. I'll tell you what, Google Plus always allows us to come in strong on these episodes. Thank you, Google.
That's just how I talk now.
Oh, man. Well, because we use Google Plus Hangout, the one thing that they do allow us to do is broadcast these episodes live, and we do that at 8:30 p.m. Central on Sundays and Wednesdays. You can watch live at ivmv.com/live, and there is a chat to log into so that you can talk with other Cubs fans while you watch us live. As expected, we lost the sports category and the podcast awards to ESPN. I was in Las Vegas this last week, and one of the reasons I was there was for the podcast awards. The ESPN Fantasy Focus podcast took the prize, but you know, it was just awesome to be listed with that competition as one of the 10 finalists. So we didn't have our normal midweek episode this last week. I published an interview that I did with Nathan Barnett, who is the broadcaster for the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. And if you have not had a chance to listen to that yet, I would encourage you to do it. Myrtle Beach is, of course, new to the Cubs organization this year, and it's a really good way to get to know that team and the players there and everything. You guys were able to play the role of listeners for that episode, and you guys said that you thought Nathan's conversation was pretty interesting.
Yeah, one thing I liked quite a bit was your question. You asked him about how we interpret stats coming out of that league and, you know, how hitter friendly the parks are, or are they more pitcher friendly? And so that was the most interesting part of the discussion for me.
Yeah, it was. I would agree with that, because it was nice to hear him have like a really solid baseball answer. And, you know, I don't know most people that work in minor league baseball, but he certainly knows his stuff.
Yeah. I thought it was, I went upstairs when I was done, and I told Tawny, I was like, that's maybe the most interesting interview I've done with a minor league person, mm-hmm. You know, somebody that works for a minor league team. I really enjoyed the conversation with him.
Yeah.
So I had to miss a few episodes of the Daily Northside Recap. I think it's a success to go to Vegas for 6 days and still publish 40% of the scheduled episodes. I called that a success. And the reason that I missed the last few episodes was because I was up until 1 or 2 a.m. A couple nights in a row, not gambling or drinking, you know, what you would expect someone to do in Las Vegas at 2 in the morning. But no, I was trying to work on two presentations that I had to give at this new media / podcasting conference. So did not gamble a single dollar. So I came home with, well, I came home with far less than what I went there with, just because Vegas is freaking expensive. I should have gambled. Everybody else that was, you know, Bob from Moline went with us. He gambled, won money, and I don't know. I don't have the guts to gamble, I guess. So, but the daily Northside recap will resume this week. If you're not familiar with that podcast, it's part of ivmb.com, but it's separate from this podcast. So you can subscribe for free in any of the podcast directories, or you can listen at dailynorthsiderecap.com. It's a daily show, and it recaps the previous day's games in the Cubs organization, from the Cubs down through the minor league system, Iowa, Tennessee, Myrtle Beach, and South Bend. Andy, congrats on winning the preseason prediction that we made about Chris Bryant's call-up, because you were pretty much right. So I'm gonna let you talk about the timing of this thing, because I think it's BS.
Well, thanks for.
I think you lucked into it.
I'm gonna have to appeal. I'm gonna appeal to the judges based on that it was skewed, you know, based on injury. But we'll let Andy talk about it.
Right.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to say before I launch into this? Yeah. Thanks for saying that, Corey, because I wasn't gonna bring it up, so I appreciate that. The Cubs needed a third baseman. Mike Old and Tommy La Stella went to the DL, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But they had a need, and Chris Bryant filled that need. Jonathan Herrera was pretty much their only option, and he's a guy that they need to fill in other places, you know, if there are injuries. And Coughlin saw a little bit of time at third base, but Alcantara was pretty much forced to play second base, you know, and so they really needed somebody to come in there. Theo stressed that the reason they called him up was to fill that need, and that it had nothing to do with service time. Still, though, Friday did happen to be the very first day the Cubs could have called him up without losing team control in 2021. So it ended up being very convenient for the Cubs. Theo was quoted as saying, "The timing wasn't exactly the way we scripted it out." And I think that part of the quotation is hilarious, because they couldn't have scripted it out any better.
No, but that's not how they scripted it.
I'm sorry?
That's not how they scripted it, though.
That's what he said.
Right. I don't think they wanted it to be that day. I don't think they wanted to call him up that day. I don't think they had a choice.
I think they wanted to call him up on Monday and for the Pittsburgh series, but for him to say that wasn't exactly the way we scripted out, it gave him an opportunity to say, oh yeah, we were planning on keeping him down there quite a bit more time to let him develop a little bit longer, but injuries forced our hand, so we just had to do it. That's the way I read it. Because he goes on to say, we would have waited a little longer and let him finish his development and put him on the road in a different situation. But with the needs of the big league team and the way he was playing down there, this makes as much sense as anything, which I think is hilarious too, because it's like, oh man, there's all these things that don't make that much sense. So I guess this makes sense. We'll just do this. I just think that it just kind of gave them a way, like sort of an easy way out on explaining the timing of the call up, even though it seems, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, so you think if there were no injuries, he still would have been called up either Friday or tomorrow, Monday?
Yeah, I think Monday. That's the original prediction I made. I think that's when they would have called him up.
I was completely way off in left field on my prediction. I said sometime like, I don't even know, like August or something.
No, you didn't say August. No, you didn't.
I know. I would just say I was really far off. But
not really. You and I were in the same. Probably, you and I were like in May.
Yeah, but I was probably later May. I think you were early May. But I think it was probably more, I don't know. I think it would have been later than Monday, but way sooner than I predicted.
Yeah, I just don't think they had a choice. I mean, I think I think they would have preferred to have waited a few weeks maybe or something like that. But I mean, there's just no depth in the infield right now. So I think they had to.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of what we read into it, I mean, you're absolutely right in saying, I mean, they had to do it. And he was playing well in Iowa, and so it just made it easy for them to make that decision that particular day.
I think it would have been interesting if these players were injured a week earlier. It would be interesting to see how they were able to hold him off an extra week.
And there's no way they give up that year of control after sending him there to start. Even if that your scenario were to have happened.
I don't know. I don't know.
They would have figured something out. Didn't they have Wellington Castillo working out at third base or some crap like that?
Yeah. All of a sudden they're like, Christian Villanuevo, he might be ready. We're going to give him a little sample. We're going to give him a little taste.
Yeah. Well, he could have put Alcantara over there in a real bind too.
Yeah. We did see him play some third in spring training, but he's not doing that much offensively. So
no,
but I guess what it boils down to, and I think we can all agree now, he's up with the Cubs. So it just doesn't matter anymore.
Right. We're all excited to finally see him in Chicago. There are people who had plans to go to Iowa games. They're a little disappointed, but other than that, he's here.
Yeah. So I guess we can put that whole topic to bed, and then we can just sit back and enjoy 2021 when the time comes.
I'm not going to enjoy anything between now and then, though.
Right.
Just waiting for 2021.
Now, okay. And you'll have to forgive me because I really was out of touch this entire last week in Las Vegas. I did not get to see much. My phone didn't work, wasn't getting very good coverage in most of the places. I was in the Las Vegas Convention Center, which is huge. So if this goes to a game 163, game 163 is considered the regular season. Right. So then they would have Saturday would have been the cutoff. Is that right?
I've seen multiple sources say that wouldn't have affected anything.
So if we go to 163, the Cubs are still hold on to that year of control.
From everything that I saw online.
I've seen conflicting stories either way, but I do think that's the case. They would hold on to it.
Let's just, if we're going to go to the playoffs, let's get it done in 162 games.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So, before we get into what we think he might do for the 2015 Cubs, let's look at his minor league numbers. And I think it's pretty safe to say, I don't think he'll be returning to the minors unless it's an injury rehab assignment. He seems like a very, especially even just based on what we saw here in the first weekend, I don't get the impression he's like kind of a Javier, would be in a situation like Javi where he would need to go down. But so let's just kind of like summarize, put a bow on his minor league stats.
Okay. So he hit every level in the last 2 years. So he moved his way through pretty quickly. And his total games played was 181, and his slash line was 327, 426, and 667. He hit 49 doubles, 55 home runs, and 152 RBI. And I think the interesting thing about that too, as you take all of his hits, which he had 212, and over 50% of them were extra base hits. So, we already know he hits the ball hard. And so when he doesn't hit a home run and it lands in the field, it, goes a long way. So he hits a lot of extra base hits, mostly doubles. It's hard to find any real flaw with his offensive numbers outside of another thing we already know is that he strikes out quite a bit. And he struck out 206 times in his 773 plate appearances, and that's a 26.6 strikeout rate. So
that's not bad.
it's not terrible for a guy with that kind of power.
Right. Yeah. If he strikes out 26% of the time in the majors and exhibits anything close to that as far as power and production goes, we'll take that.
Yep. So in every, you know, all the projections expect that number to go up a little bit, and you know, the averages and the OBP to drop a little. But I think he'll adjust pretty quickly. He seems to be a pretty quick study.
Yeah, I've already been impressed by some of the pitches he's been able to lay off just watching his few at-bats we've been able to watch with the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
just the turnaround from the first game he played to the second game he played was pretty impressive, where he just looked a lot more comfortable and, you know, drew some walks and made the adjustments.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, I was really impressed with the adjustments that he made. You know, I guess like in Friday's game, let me back up for a second. I haven't been able to watch a lot of Chris Bryant. So Kurt, you said he hit every level. I don't think he hit, the Midwest League. So I think like when it says low A in there, I think it means Boise. So he didn't come through the Midwest League, so I didn't get a chance to see him with Kane County. But yeah, I've been able to read the stats and read the articles and everything, but I haven't been able to see a lot of his at bats except for really spring training games the last couple of years. But what really struck me in the first couple of games is how smart of a hitter he is. I mean, James Shields attacked Bryant and I would say won that matchup. And within a game, Bryant had identified what the Padres were doing with him, how they were pitching him, and he made those adjustments. And they didn't really give him anything to hit in the first game. And then in the second game, he just sat back, made them pitch to him. He worked the count. He was disciplined on pitches outside of the zone. And, I mean, looked in that second game, not so much in the first game, but in the second game, he looked so comfortable for being a rookie in his second game with all of that hype. I mean, I was just really impressed with him.
And I suppose you have to give some credit to coaching in that instance. Cause you know, I think probably the first game they said, all right, just, you know, go out and do your thing. Like they kind of probably left him alone to some degree. And then maybe they came back and said, okay, well this game, like make him pitch to you. We want to see you work the counts a little better. You know, when his head was probably a little clearer after his debut, because
I'm not even sure they would have to say that to him. I just think that's part of who he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he just seems so polished. And I mean, even down to like, you look at his swing, it is so, and I think maybe Lynn was talking about it yesterday. I can't remember on Saturday's game. He made some comment. I think it was Lynn made a comment about how little motion there is and how controlled his swing is. And, I don't, Chris Bryant to me, and of course I have no reason to say this. I have no knowledge at all, but like, he just seems like the kind of player that doesn't really need a lot of coaching. Like it seems like it's just, I think he has a very high baseball IQ and.
Well, I think his dad has given him a lifetime of coaching.
Right.
That dude never shuts up.
So, so this 2015 team and really the team of the future, it's like really taking shape now. There's still a few pieces to come up and we'll get to that in a few minutes, but essentially we have a full season ahead of us, you know, that we're what, 12 games in or whatever, or 12 or 13.
What if they missed the wild card by one game? That's what I keep hearing people say.
We just have this whole season ahead of us. So based on what we've seen so far this season from the team and then what we have seen and what we know about Chris Bryant, I mean, are you guys at all interested in adjusting your expectations for this season?
Oh, not yet. I guess I'm ready for that time, but I'm not doing it yet. You know what I mean? I'm not adjusting my win total prediction just yet. But at the same time, I see the potential for that happening. And I think that's kind of the craziest thing about this team is you know, if you talk about floor versus floor and ceiling, like the ceiling is actually probably pretty high. Like, you know, they could surprise a lot of people and, you know, easily make the playoffs, or they could just mess out. So, but for now, it's just too early for me to jump to putting all that on him.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily just on him. I mean, also, like, you know, just what we've seen from the Cubs this year. I mean, it feels like we're seeing a team that I don't know. I guess I'm not exactly ready to bump up my win prediction for the 2015 Cubs, but I think that I would now be less surprised if they won more than 83 or 85 games, which is kind of what I was thinking heading into the season. But I think we've already seen the Cubs win two or three games this season that they would have lost in previous seasons. You know,
yeah, I totally agree with that.
And so that's what kind of like makes me kind of tempted to rethink things, is it's like, man, they're not losing those games that they normally lose. And, you know, and as the Cubs, for instance, in Saturday's game, as the Cubs entered the 11th inning, I looked ahead to the players that were due up in the 11th, and it was Soler, Rizzo, Bryant. And then if anybody got on, a pinch hitter for Roscoe, who ended up being Ross, and then Castro. Honestly, I did not think that I knew that game was not going to the 12th inning. You know, and that's the most confident I've been with this team in years. I mean, I looked at Soler, Rizzo, Bryant, and then whoever was back going to pinch it, and then Castro. Yep, they're going to score. You
saw David Ross warming up, and you're like, yeah, this thing's over.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily feel like it was going to be a walk-off homer either. You know, like Soler has been super exciting to watch this year, just like it was last year. Rizzo's OBP is like over 450, or it was. Bryant had some really good at bats and had gotten on base, what, like four times in the game.
I think he drew three walks in that game, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. I just felt like they were going to be able to generate a run. And I mean, yeah, Rizzo stole two bases in that game. I mean, it just feels like they're not simply relying on all that power, that they're also generating some runs.
Yeah. Well, and that's the funny thing. They actually lead the league in stolen bases.
Yeah.
It's not a ton. It's like 13, but they're at the top of all of baseball. Yeah, they're scoring differently. They're not just hitting the ball out all the time, which is good to see.
Especially in April, because you're not going to be able to hit the ball out. Yeah. You know,
and they're just kind of like a different attitude with this team, which is kind of nice too. I mean, it's hard to quantify and explain. And maybe you're just picking up on that because they're winning a little more, but it just feels like, you know, in, you know, to look at that blown save. I mean, that was a huge blown save. Like,
oh yeah,
you let them come back in the ninth from four down, and then it's like, oh, in the past, it's like that game's done.
Right.
Like,
this is the Cubs I know and love.
Yeah. And then, like, for them to, like, keep battling and then actually win it, and I don't know, it's pretty impressive. Because, you know, saves are going to get blown from time to time, but then to,
well,
you know, kind of have that confidence to stay in it.
Right. And I kind of mentioned, you know, I mentioned the lineup. And, like, man, how it seems like, like, starting this weekend, it just seems like there's somebody with a really dangerous hitter is coming up all the time. Like this is a really powerful lineup, and it's not like in the previous years where it was like, well, you know, Rizzo was left standing on second base to end the last inning, so we're not going to see anything offensively for the next couple innings, you know, until Castro and Rizzo come up again. But I mean, now, like, top to bottom, there's a lot of firepower there, and it's not all power. It's, you know, I don't know. I'm not, well, what do you think, Andy? I mean, would you be tempted to adjust your expectations?
Oh yeah, it's tempting, but I'm kind of in the same boat as Kurt with sort of wait and see mode, I guess. And I think what he said was really smart about, yeah, this team has a lot of potential to kind of play, you know, up to, you know, kind of play out of their minds a little bit and make some noise in the, you know, in the playoffs even. But they also could miss the, you know, they could also end up middle of the pack in the NL Central. I wouldn't, you know, would you be that surprised if that happened?
I don't know. No, I guess not. I don't know.
Everyone's just a little high on the success of the first stretch.
Yeah, I guess I'm not, and I'm not ready to say, yep, the Cubs are here. They're going to win 90 or 95 games. You know, I don't think that's the case, but I think we've seen a much more interesting and fun team already this season, even before Bryant was called up. And this really does feel like a team that can just reel off a bunch of wins in a row. And it's the fact that they're not solely relying on power, that they are stealing bases and they're drawing walks and that sort of thing. I think those are the types of things that will keep them from being a feast or famine team offensively. So,
yeah. Well, and I suppose the other thing you could say to validate your point a little bit is that, you know, Lester's not pitching well. Russell's not there yet. Baez, depending on what he does, he's not there. You could potentially add two impact infielders and your ace finally starts pitching like an ace, and you know, all of a sudden you're a few more wins better.
Right.
So.
Right. That isn't even like, I mean, we've just been focusing on the offense. I mean, this starting pitching staff has a ton of potential, and you have to be happy. I mean, I loved how Hendricks pitched against the Padres on Friday. The runs he gave up were on the pitch after a bad or borderline bad call. And I believe I saw today that the Cubs have the best starting rotation measured by FIP. So, and I was feeling really good about the bullpen till.
And Lester's probably at the bottom of that too. That's the funny thing.
I don't know. Anything else about Bryant or like expectations? I mean, here in a little bit, we're going to get to this last week in Cubs baseball, but anything else about Bryant or.
Well, I guess situation? We could just mention really quickly his play at third base.
Right.
Which has been pretty solid overall. He made an error in yesterday's game, I believe, but he's also made some pretty impressive plays. That diving play he made in his first game comes to mind, but he's looked pretty solid. He also, I remember he barehanded a little dribbler down the line to an almost threw the base runner out at first. And I was pretty impressed by that because that like people like Ron Coomer are talking about, well, where he's going to have trouble is charging balls. And then his height's going to be an issue of getting down to make a play on those balls that he has to charge in on. And he looked pretty solid on that.
Although that is what he was doing when he had that error.
Yeah. Okay. But
I mean, he's definitely serviceable at third base right now.
Right.
I mean, small sample size, but
sure. Sure.
But yeah, his defense has been kind of surprising. I didn't expect it to be quite as good as he has been so far.
Yeah, me neither. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So let's shift our prospect attention to next in line, Addison Russell. How's he doing in Iowa, Kurt?
Well, isn't it kind of fun to like have like, you know, one of your top two prospects called up and then be like, well, we still have another one who's like one of the top two in baseball, depending on what you go by. But yeah, Russell is sort of the next on the watch list. And he is doing really well in Iowa, I think, as everyone expected. And they've played 8 games. And offensively, he's hitting .314. He does have a home run. You know, he's not known quite as much for his power, obviously, as Brian is. But he's got a little pop and some good bat speed that people talk about. So, yeah, he's hitting the ball really well. He's not really taking a lot of walk. He only has one walk. So, you know, his on base is really similar to his batting average. So it looks like he's just really putting the ball in play a lot and getting a lot of hits. Defensively, it's a little more difficult, you know, because they don't watch the AAA games. They do have some fielding stats online. But so he's committed a couple errors. But, you know, judging from what we saw in spring training, I think defensively he's ready. I don't think there's a lot to prove there. And then the fact that he's, you know, performing pretty well offensively is nice. It's early, but all things are looking up for Addison Russell right now.
And he's been playing second base here lately. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, I think that's interesting because
it is interesting.
The Cubs didn't, let's see. So they did not have, if I remember right, Alcantara did not play any outfield until he reached the Cubs. He played second base only in Iowa, I believe, or probably some short too. And then, Bryant, did he play any outfield? Did he play any left field in Iowa? I don't.
He didn't this year.
Yeah. So I don't, so I mean, it's, and I don't it's think. Possible that he'll shift out there. So it's kind of interesting that these other players haven't really, played much time in, I guess, secondary defensive positions. But they are doing that with Addison Russell. So, I guess the question now is, when will we see Addison Russell? I mean,
well, and I think that's the other, like, well, you look at the Bryant situation and that sort of proves how hard it is to predict, even though Andy did predict it, but I'm saying like injury wise,
it's such a BS.
It is hard.
Because, it makes me so mad. You got that, Andy.
Why? I mean,
we got it. We had to let him win one. We had to
that's get true. One.
I still don't understand why you guys thought it was going to be so late. I mean,
I was talking like 2 weeks from now. That's not late.
Right.
I don't know. I just
didn't think they'd fly the bird to the MLBPA.
Right. Boris. Right.
Like, be like, what's up?
That's right exactly. Now. That's exactly what I thought too.
Yeah. But anyway,
look at Andy doesn't want to gloat in his win. Tries to shift conversation.
But yeah, Bryant, or I'm sorry, Russell, I think it's hard to predict because, you know, if they need him, if somebody gets hurt, and hopefully nobody does, he's ready any time, I think. But I don't think you'll see him before. I would think minimally after Super 2, because there's really no reason in my mind to bring it up for that. But yeah, it could be, it's really wide open as far as that goes. So
yeah,
I mean, I think Baez came up what, like August 5th or 6th last year. I think maybe that's a similar timeline. And the other question is what happens with Baez when he comes back and plays again, you know, that could affect the decision as well.
Yeah. I honestly, before this season, I think in the predictions, I guessed about that time in August or something, but I mean, I think if you would have asked me like 2 or 3 months ago, I kind of didn't think that we would see him this year. But now as we're moving in, it feels like this thing is like kind of picking up steam. I think we will see him. I think if Russell keeps playing the way he does, he adjusts to second base and the Cubs are in the thick of it, I think they'll bring him up after the Super 2 status deadline. Maybe we'll see him maybe shortly after the All-Star break. But yeah, like you said, Kurt, that's not really taking Javier Baez into consideration. And I'm not sure how that'll work out. If Baez is destroying AAA pitching, if both these guys are ready, perhaps then we see Bryant move to left field and the infield pieces kind of fit into place. Although it kind of feels like it may be shoving puzzle pieces into places they don't really go, but they just make it fit.
But then you've got Listella to fit in there somewhere. This is the logjam of the infield we've been talking about for a while, and we'll have to figure it out somehow.
Yeah, I really think they will figure it out. But man, this lineup is just—it's fun now. And the hype is there now. Wait until Addison Russell comes up. You know, I mean, it's really fun to just have these guys on an assembly line, like just a conveyor belt. And as soon as we get used to one player, the next one plops off, you know. So what, it was Alcantara and then Baez, then Soler, then Bryant, now Russell, then it'll be Schwarber. I mean, what, man, it's so, and so much fun.
It's just a relentless lineup that's going to be. Like, there's just no relief except for when you get to the pitcher batting eighth.
Yeah, as was evidenced today.
Yeah. What is Lester stranded? Six.
Yeah. More
guys. Bases loaded twice. But yeah, that's going to be fun.
And Andy, any comments on Russell and when this thing might kind of, you know, when this might play out?
No, I mean, just to go with what Kurt said, I mean, what makes it hard to predict is that we saw, you and I saw kind of firsthand in spring training that he appears to be ready whenever the big league club needs him. So I think that makes it hard to predict.
Yeah, I think it's pretty, I mean, it'll be after Super 2, though. I mean, yeah, unless I something so. Just like absolutely bonkers happens with injuries. I think it'll be after the Super 2 deadline.
Last year we thought Baez would be like September, because, you know, they want to get a full season into AAA and that kind of thing. And they showed they would, you know, they would pull a guy up before he had a complete season. So I don't know. I think they'd like to get as close to a complete season at AAA as they can.
Well, and let's not forget that, I mean, Russell really is only, what, he played like 50 or 55 games last year for the Cubs. I mean, he's only been in this organization for, you know, 60 games or whatever, and only 8 or 9 games in AAA. So I think wait until, like you said, you know, July or August or something like that, let him get at least a good half season in. And then if there just aren't really areas of his game that need improved, dramatic improvement, and the Cubs are in the thick of it, why not just go for it?
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier that injuries kind of forced the hand of the Cubs. Andy, do you want to get us caught up with all these injuries?
Yeah. I think we can just kind of sum it all up by saying inflammation. There's a lot of inflammation. There's more than enough inflammation to go around. like you mentioned earlier, we were feeling pretty good about the bullpen, and now it feels like it's a little bit shaky. And one of the main reasons for that is because Neil Ramirez and Justin Grimm are both on the DL, and they look like they were going to be kind of two of the foundational guys in that pen. Ramirez is, I really like him a lot, and he's dealing with some right shoulder inflammation, and that's been a recurring problem or a recurring injury for him. And so that's a pretty big concern. A lot of people thought that he should be, I guess he started out as a starting pitcher, of course, but I'm sorry, my son is like yelling right now in the other room and it's throwing me off, but he has basically been forced into a bullpen role because of his injury history. So we have Neil Ramirez and Justin Grimm on the 15-day DL, both of those guys. And then we also mentioned Tommy La Stella has right rib cage inflammation. He's on the 15-day DL, as well as Mike Olt, and he has a right wrist fracture. So Olt probably won't be back until May, but Tommy La Stella could be back, will be back quite a bit before that, I think. But that, as we mentioned before, hampers our infield depth, and thus the reason we see Chris Bryant on the field now. Others on the DL, it's Tsuyoshi Wada. The Cubs also moved Jacob Turner to the 60-day DL to free up a roster spot for Carlos Germán. I'm sorry, not Carlos. Gonzalez.
I was like,
Gonzalez. Gonzalez Germán.
He kept saying Carlos, and I'm like, I don't remember there being a Carlos in the picture.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. No. Gonzalez, German. And so they optioned Caesar to Iowa, and they brought up Gonzalez Hederman. And, after that 11-inning game, they really taxed the bullpen. They needed another arm out there, and so he's going to fill that need.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing how quickly injuries can have a huge impact on the bullpen. I mean, we've already talked about the impact it had on the infield and, you know, requiring the Cubs to bring up Bryant when they did. But I don't know, here, you know, in the first week of the half of the season, I was really impressed, super confident in that bullpen.
Yeah.
Now things don't look so great. You know, Schlitter blew the save on Friday, and then on Saturday, Coke and Rondon gave up that 4-run lead in the ninth inning, throw in the injury to Ramirez, and I don't know. I guess it's my sports fan overreaction, and I'm just super nervous about the bullpen now.
But yeah, lose Grimm and Ramirez. That's the two guys we were going to rely on. So
yeah, and then you replace them with Schlitter and. Yeah. Schlitter has not been sharp this year, so.
No. And I really feel like it kind of sucks that they don't get any off day this week, because it kind of feels like this bullpen could use an off day. And I mean, they're really being taxed because the starters are not going real long into the game. I mean, if you look at I'm trying to think of, I guess Arrieta's gone a little bit deeper into the game, but Lester hasn't. And if I was thinking ahead, I would have had those stats in front of me. But
overall, they haven't had the deepest starts.
Right. So it seems like early, maybe we can get a rain out one of these days this week just to give the bullpen a little rest.
I forgot to mention too, Tsuyoshi Wada is on rehab assignment with Iowa, so he could be of use to the Cubs at some point in the near future.
Yeah,
and no, and this is just something I thought of. He's on a major league contract, so when he's ready, he has to be
right
with the Cubs, right? Like he's got no.
Yeah,
so yeah, he's gonna call it up a spot, no matter what you know. He seems kind of like an oddball to me. Like, I don't know how strong he's going to be out of the bullpen, but we'll see.
Is it? Oh yeah, I was going to make a terrible joke, and I just thought better of it. So
you pumped the brakes.
Filter.
So any other? I mean, I think injuries are kind of what stands out to me in the last week, partially because I was not able to watch a single game. So, I tried to stream the game that one night that you guys, I believe you were making fun of me through text that I wasn't watching.
I was going to say, Kurt and I were giving you some grief for.
Right. So I'm trying to stream it through MLB.tv. And my internet speed in the hotel was 0.27 down and 0.01 up. I was trying to upload episodes of the Daily Northside Recap at 0.01 up.
Is that another one of those weird like ploys to get you to gamble more?
Could, but like, that's what I was thinking. Although since I was
there's no excuse for that.
I don't understand how it's even
work done in your room.
Right. I don't understand how it's possible.
Yeah.
But I was although I did notice that since I was up at 2 a.m, I did notice that the internet speed was better in the middle of the night. So maybe it's just too many people using it. I don't know. So I was trying to stream the game, and I actually was able to watch parts of it. I have no idea how that happened at 0.27 megabytes.
But just for the listener, Kurt and I were just kept going on and on back and forth on a text message thread with Corey included, how fun the game was, how awesome the game was that we were watching, and how we feel bad for anybody that would have to miss this game and stuff like that.
See, I could have gone down to the sports book and watched it down there, but I was up in the room working on stuff. So do you guys have any other comments on that, from that Red series and then the series with the Padres this weekend?
Well, I guess another positive thing was Edwin Jackson's looked pretty good out of the bullpen. He looked good today, and so that's a good another positive for the bullpen.
That's true. Who would have thunk that it would be like Edwin? His bullpen success is going to come down to Edwin Jackson.
I know. Well, bailing out John Lester.
Kind of came in garbage time, his first appearance, didn't he, a little bit? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Overall, the team seems to have a lot of fight. I think Kurt said this earlier, just seems to have a lot of fight in it. It seems like anybody could step up and get hot at any time and sort of carry the team.
Mm-hmm.
But it just has such a different feel to it than.
Yeah, it was cool to see a walk-off. It kind of annoyed me, and I think I probably talked about it on here the last couple years.
No, you've never talked about how walk-off celebrations annoy you.
They annoy me when the team sucks. Although, in hindsight, whatever makes those guys happy, you know, if that makes the clubhouse a little more fun, if that boosts their morale a little bit, then okay. But it really annoyed me that, like, in, you know, August, and they're 20 games under 500, and they celebrate a walk-off win. But after Saturday's walk-off win, I don't know. It felt like some of those fun walk-off celebrations. Like the Cubs, I seem to remember them having a lot of walk-off wins in like the 07 and 08. And it just looked like it looked fun. And they went into extra innings, and you just had the confidence that they were going to be able to, you know, Ramirez or Soriano, somebody was going to come through, and it was just going to be, you know, a celebration at Wrigley. And now it kind of feels like that now. Like I feel like I'm getting back to that place.
Yeah. I like that it's starting to become a thing that Miguel Montero kicks the butt, like starts kicking the butt of whoever the guy is that gets the game winning. he said that he kicked Starlin on Twitter. Actually, anybody out there, if you're not looking at Miguel Montero's Twitter feed, it's incredible. I kind of had the feeling that after the walk-off, with Starlin's walk-off hit, that he had some beverages and he was on Twitter. It was highly entertaining. So that was enjoyable for me.
He was excited about the win. That's for sure.
Exactly. As he should be. Didn't he hit two homers in that game?
Yes. Yep.
Here's another thing from the Padres series that I highly enjoyed is Jerko, you know, the guy Jerko who's plays second base, I think, for the Padres.
Right.
He made like a little diving play, and JD said, "Sounds like some kind of exotic bird, a diving Jerko." So that was a JD quotation that I enjoyed during the series. A diving Jerko.
Well, you know, it's gonna. I think these announcers, these broadcasters, are gonna start having more fun with this team too. You know, it's been difficult for Cubs fans to watch over the last 4 or 5 years. It hasn't been that fun for us to talk about it, but at least we've been able to fall back on the rebuild and the minors and the players, you know, the development in the minors, all that stuff. We've been able to tap into that, where Len and JD and Pat and Ron really haven't been able to do that, you know, during broadcasts. And so I expect to see them having a lot more fun this season too.
And they have so much stuff to talk about now. I mean,
right.
There were some games in recent seasons where it seemed like they were really scraping the bottom of the barrel for topics to get into, especially when the Cubs were down by quite a few runs.
Yeah.
So it's actually going to be fun to watch them, listen to them, just to kind of discuss the multitude topics that the talent the Cubs have provide.
Yeah.
That's a terrible sentence.
I'll save you. I did want to make one other comment about the schedule, and they've been beating good teams, which is really awesome to see. But the other challenging part of that is their April and May is tough. I mean, the only really struggling team they're going to play is the Brewers. They got a couple series with the Brewers in May, but otherwise they got the Cardinals, the Mets, the Pirates, the Padres again, Diamondbacks, Nationals, and Royals.
All right. If you shop on Amazon, you can help support this podcast by going to ivmv.com and clicking on the Amazon link on the side of the page. Amazon gives us a percentage of your purchase, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. You can leave us reviews in iTunes and Stitcher, and we appreciate those because, like Chuck Mangione, they make us feel so good. And we've got a few reviews to read this week. The first one comes from Cubs Fan 2. And the title is Incredible Podcast, a Must Listen for Cubs Fans. This person says, these guys are great. They've got a good sense of humor and are not high sounding. I don't know what that means, but we're not high sounding. I think I know what he means, but or she. But rather very genuine and down to earth. They keep it sufficiently professional and keep it pretty clean for those listening with family. They don't claim to be experts in all things Cubs, but their reporting and opinions are spot on and very informative. Keep it up, guys. Thank you to Cubs Fan 2. And then we have one here from C.M. Whitley, and this says, for a Cubs fan in North Carolina, this podcast gets me as close to Wrigley as possible without actually being there. Thanks for the great show, guys. Go Cubs. So thank you to Cubs Fan 2 and CM Whitley for those kind reviews. We would appreciate it if you would leave us a review. They help our visibility in the podcast directories, and that helps other Cubs fans find our podcast. So, Kurt, it's been a while. And while I miss Cubs baseball over the offseason, I also miss your scary stats of the week. And
well, thanks.
Last week, I kind of stepped on your scary stat. And so I hope that we didn't this week.
No, because this week I'm going to the minor leagues. In fact, you helped point me to this one.
So oh, I know where you're going.
You got to take some credit on this one. And, you know, early in the season, they're kind of easier to find because it's easy for guys to get such hugely inflated stats. So it makes it actually a little bit more fun and easy to find. But in AA Tennessee, Dan Vogelbach, he's played 9 games with the Smokies. He's hitting .484. Of the 579 OBP, and he doesn't have any home runs yet, but he does have 15 hits in his 31 at-bats, which is kind of weird because he's got some really good power, but has not hit a home run. And he has only struck out 3 times in those 31 at-bats. So
yeah,
for everybody always throwing those K rates around, that's only 8%. Under 8%.
Oh, man.
So he's really seeing the ball well.
Dude locked is locked in. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's really encouraging to see, just because I think that, and we talked about this, I think a few weeks ago, maybe it was on the prediction episode, but Vogelbach is getting to the point where he could soon be in trade discussions. I don't think you were going to see that at any level lower than double A, but if he can crush double A pitching half as well as he is right now, well, crush it in base hits. I mean, I think the power is going to come. I'm surprised that he hasn't shown off that power yet, but man, he's on a mission, and I think we could start hearing his name in rumors.
And didn't we kind of posit that maybe he was falling out of favor a little bit with the organization? But
I haven't heard anything about that.
Well, it just seemed like he had kind of fallen off the radar a little bit of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Or kind of been flying under the radar, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think partially it's just because there's so many other players to focus on.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And he's definitely had a slower progression
right
through the system than the superstars. But, you know, he's 22 now and in double A.
How dare a prospect spend a year at each level? The audacity.
When starting at 18.
Speaking of inflammatory things, I mean, I was trying to make an inflammation joke based on the injury report, but it didn't work out.
You should have pumped the brakes on that one, Andy.
Yeah. You can't pump the brakes on all of them.
That's true. All right. Well, this is the part of the show where we read off some internet muscle flexes. And what we do is we go to Cubs.com, maybe the Cubs social network, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, those types of things, and find instances of fans flexing their muscles on other fans, on players, on the organization, I guess all sorts of things. And these are ones that we find particularly entertaining. Do you guys have any this week?
I have two.
I have one.
All right. I have three, but they're all from the same article and they're pretty short. Anybody want to go first?
I will. I don't feel like mine is overly strong, but it's kind of funny. This is from Cubs Instagram, which I told these guys before we started recording. I think I'm going to have to leave Cubs Instagram and go back to Cubs.com.
I knew you wouldn't. I knew you couldn't last long over there. I knew you wouldn't last long.
Well, like, because 99% of it is not. It's so inflammatory, and it's not baseball related, which is sometimes funny, but for the most part. And the other part, the other challenging thing about social media stuff is people will like, you know, like everybody's got a Cubs fan friend that they're like at whatever.
Right, got to tag people. You know?
Yeah. But hey, this person says, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, you're just running into a lot of trolls on there. And speaking of that, mm-hmm. just to interject here, I loved John Lester's tweet the other day when a Sox fan tweeted at him that his son's little league team could run on him all day, and he goes, and he said, maybe you should try throwing it underhand to first. Lester was like, yeah, maybe I'll try that. Also, I didn't know trolls had kids. I thought that was incredible. Awesome. Okay, I'm sorry. I go ahead, Kurt.
No worries. All right, so this person said Lester was a huge waste of money. We have never had relief pitching, and they spend the money on him? Hashtag mistake. Which I think was funny, hilarious, because like they have an amazing bullpen that's costing them virtually nothing. And that's part of that, that to me.
And I
scrolled a lot more, and this person that made this comment was really, really trolling hard on some people. It was impressive. So vulgar that I could never possibly read it on here.
But yeah, man, we're just a few games deep into a huge, like a lengthy contract. It's time to come to some conclusions here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At least pull the private jet. You know, he doesn't deserve that. He got 25 hours on a private jet, and he needs to have that taken out.
I can go next.
Yeah.
Mine are from the article entitled Bryant Drives In Run on First Career Hit. And this first one comes from a fan from another team. And they say, why on earth is this site making such a big deal out of this guy? Genuinely curious. Why is Cubs.com making such a big deal out of this guy? Another comment. So this happened during the game. During the game on Saturday's game where they ended up winning. And so this person says, to think that today was the day I finally broke down and bought MLB.com bullpen. A lot of bull, very little pen.
He's just really hoping for more pen.
More pen 15, I guess.
And the last one here that I have. From the same article about Chris Bryant driving in a run on his first career hit. And this person says, do we really need a thread made for every little thing Chris Kardashian does?
Holy cow. Oh man. All right. So I had a couple. I got both of mine from Cubs Facebook. And I think both of these came from the album of photos from today's game. And so the first one, so they shared some photos from today's loss against the Padres. And one poster just said, don't share pictures unless they win. I just kind of like that advice there. Some social media advice. And then my other one was on, I think it was just on the same thing, the album of photos, and this poster from Facebook known as Love Quotes posted a like a graphic. This is kind of a visual one. They posted a graphic that just shows this lady with an umbrella in the rain, and it says, "Beauty is nothing without brains and hearts." And it had nothing to do with anything. So it's not really a flex, but I just kind of love like how insanely random. If you look in the document, you can see it, and it's so fantastic.
The hearts is really important, but based on the size of how right. big they made that word. Brains and hearts.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, this week's episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. A special thanks to our Hall of Fame level contributors, Jeremy, Dave, Dallas, Charles, Steven, Stewart, Jane, Cass, Tony, Shane, Michael, John, Brian, Andrew, Richard, Craig, Rick, and Luke. Our Patreon associate producers are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, and Jason Nunn. We would like to thank those that jumped on our Patreon campaign this week. Tim Marr from Riddles Creek, which is in Australia. And Tim is now one of our associate producers. And also Dizzle. I'm not sure if that's their real name, but Dizzle is from Chicago. And Dizzle comes in at the Andre Dawson level and is therefore a Hall of Fame level contributor. So Patreon is kind of like Kickstarter, and it is what allows us to pay for things like hosting, equipment, helps us do things like the IVMV bus trip, a second episode of this podcast each week, and it helps us do the Monday through Friday daily Northside Recap podcast. If you would like to help support us, you can do so for just as little as $1 a month, and there are several pledging levels on Patreon, and there are perks at every level. This is a great way for you to help us make everyone's IVMV experience better. So now that I am back from Vegas, back from the podcast awards and everything that I had to do out there, I'm going to focus on getting our perks mailed out. So I have fallen behind. We ordered new pint glasses. Those should be nicer than the original ones. And if you received a pint glass already, we will be sending new pint glasses out to replace the ones, just because, I don't know, I wasn't too impressed with the original ones. And so we're going to make sure everybody gets a new one that deserves it. So, and also I'm going to be mailing out t-shirts. If you've ordered a t-shirt in the last couple weeks, especially since we did that sale, I have the new shipment and I should get them tomorrow. And so I will get those out too. So if you're interested in an IVMV shirt, you can go to IVMV.com/store. I mentioned our bus trip. We have some spots left on the bus. We're taking a charter bus from the Quad Cities up to Chicago on August 8th for the Cubs Giants game. Go to IVMV.com/bus for information. And I also mentioned the daily Northside Recap. That's the daily Monday through Friday podcast. The episodes are about 5 to 7 minutes long. It's just a quick recap of the previous day's games in the Cubs organization, from the Cubs down to the minors. You can subscribe to that podcast wherever you listen to this podcast, or you can listen at dailynorthsiderecap.com. And for those of you wondering about our app, I have some news on that. When I was in Las Vegas, I met with the developer of our app and worked out some of the issues. The iOS app will hopefully be coming out soon. And I also kind of started the process on an Android app, and that should happen later this season. So thank you for listening and downloading, and we will be back with our midweek episode late Wednesday night. And until then, go Cubs!